Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A very good morning to you, Doug. How you doing? Wednesdays with Whaley.
Hey, there's snow on the ground. Just put the Christmas tree up last night.
There you go.
Playoff push for football.
It is.
All is great.
We're going to get around to a bunch of different things. Kenny Pickett, a little pit talk, all kinds of things. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills, and we can't figure them out. We can't figure out the rest of the AFC. Mark Whipple, maybe talk about him. Let me start with this, though. Everybody complains about Thursday night football. It seems like it's here to stay. Seems like it's not going anywhere.
No.
Were you ever involved in any conversations about the television rights or why they have it or – if players would come in and bend your ear about, oh, man, we get hurt all the time doing this. Like, you can understand their side of it, but what's the rub here? Is it just all about money? Is that it?
Well, think about it. You never hear players say anything about it until the week they play on Thursday night. And then as soon as that game's over, they're happy because they have that extra bye week with the weekend. So they're just giving it lip service. Do they like it? No. Is it great for their bodies? No. Is it great for the product they're playing on Thursday nights,
right?
That's debatable. But you know what's not debatable? That extra ching they get in their pocket. Think about this. For when Amazon takes over the streaming next year, that's an extra $1 billion in the coffer. And that's shared revenue that goes right into that salary cap. Again, like you, everybody's been talking about. No one was talking about it when they were negotiating that CBA. But when it comes to that, and when you wake up Sunday or Monday morning after a game, you're like, oh, no, we got to play Thursday, then it's on your mind. But after that, they're all right.
I think this calls into contrast, though, and we've talked about this since the last CBA was up and negotiated. The division between maybe the top six, seven, eight guys on a roster who are established veterans, who are making seven-figure checks every week, not just a year, and the guys maybe 45 through 53 on the roster and the practice squatters who are just trying to hang on, and they will play, as I've said, at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday in a Walmart parking lot if you tell them to be there, because it means another week of service time. You're this much closer. You're cashing another check, whatever you got to do. And I think that, at least from my perspective, Doug, I don't know what you think, the NFLPA has to do more to bring those two. There's a big gap there. There's not much of a middle class in the NFL amongst players. And they need to bring those two sides together to find more commonality on this issue of what are we doing to our bodies playing on Thursday nights?
It's funny how that mimics society, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I totally agree, because what you got to look at it, just let's say minimum salaries. When I was in, that was in 17, I think the minimum salary is maybe $600,000-$700,000. Next year, it's going to be close to $1 million. So that extra $300,000 for, if you, let's say you're in there for 3 years, that's the going rate. That's nine. That's almost another million in your pocket because of these Thursday night games.
Right.
So those are the type of things, like you said, the young, these guys just barely making it by. Yeah, let's play on Thursday. Who cares? You play, like you said, Tuesday nights. I don't care. That's extra $1 million that I can put in and be able to set myself up for life and not have to do something, but choose what to do. But to be able to close that gap, that is something they tried to do with it's a convoluted system, but if you're a vet, then a vet after 4 or 5 years, you can only count X number against money against the cap, and it's maybe $800-$900. So it helped that middle class, but it's not working the way it intended to.
What was Jit, there's a study out there, right, that says that because we talk about the health issues and the injuries, especially this time of year, I would think, right, once you get into double-digit weeks. But is that a legit study that showed that it's really not as bad as a lot of us just think it is off the tops of our heads?
It's a legit study, but in my opinion, you can make stats say anything, and you can position them any way. I would say if you combine the injuries plus the quality of play on Thursday night, I think that's where you can have an argument. Now, what you're not going to have an argument with is the lip service the league has, as in, oh, we're all about player health and safety. Come on. What are we doing now? Just say it. We're business people. We run this as a business, and we want to make money, which is fine.
All right, no matter who wants to, who doesn't want to, they're going to play a game tomorrow in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. All right, now, we've been knocking this around and talking about it. Maybe this is just guy on the couch or guy at the bar looking at the TV and being too simplistic, but we all look at the TV in Western Pennsylvania, and maybe we're too simplistic. We say, run the frickin' no huddle more because the offense works better, seemingly. Mm-hmm. Doug, you said you would often have a game plan meeting before the game. You talk with the people that are the coaches and whatever. Why isn't just that simple that what we see works isn't happening every week with the offense, the no huddle?
That's a very good question. And what I was going to say is, and this is, I'll answer your question a little bit.
Sure.
I've been on Canada, but I'm going to give them some props. That fourth quarter and those last two drives, I think I saw some maturation in Canada as an offensive coordinator. There seemed to be a flow, and there seemed to show his ability to create mismatches and putting his guys in positions to be successful. I think he outcoached Wink Martindale in that fourth quarter, and that's one of the reasons why we won. Because on the TV, you saw after that one touchdown, he fist bumped the guy. So he knew that play was going to be open. So I'll give him some love on that. Now, hopefully that maturation process starts to trickle down to say, okay, it's not about me and what I can bring to this offense. It's what about all of us? It's instead of trying to be right, get it right. And let's get it right to whatever is the best way to score points, and that's what we need to do.
And I think it's – you talk about a maturation of Matt Canada. I think it's the maturation of the relationship between Matt Canada and Ben Roethlisberger. When you see five of those final six no-huddle plays or runs, I guarantee they weren't all called runs. Mm-hmm. Ben checked into one or two of those at least, I would think. He counted the number of guys in the box, as he's been talking about all year. He looked at the strength of the defense. He decided to attack the weakness, which was, hey – I don't care if we're only averaging 3 yards a carry. Let's turn around and hand it off to Najee.
Absolutely, and I've always been a firm believer of surround yourself with wise counsel. So if I'm a first-year offensive coordinator and only the second year in the NFL and I have a Hall of Fame quarterback, let's collaborate. Let's say, hey, this is what you like to do. What about what I like to do? Let's make it a marriage that's the best. And I may lean on him more because he's seen more pro football than I have and produced at a higher level than I ever have. So why not take some of that? It doesn't have to be about you. It has to be about the team and being right.
You know, one of the things, and I've been willing to give the benefit of the doubt on this, is that some were saying at the beginning that the reason they weren't running more no huddle is because you had young guys on the offensive line. Even Najee is a rookie. Freiermuth is a rookie. You had a lot of these young guys. The offensive line hadn't been together. And so it would take a while to do this. However, now that they've done it successfully, why not come out Thursday night right away, first series, and do why not do it at the beginning, and why wait until you kind of have to do it?
That, again, that's where you got to get in with the game planning and say, hey, coach, what are we doing here? And then that goes all the way up to Tomlin. Hey, Tomlin, what do you want to do? And that's that identity we've been talking about. We need to establish identity, and maybe they take these steps. Now, for me, I disagree with that no huddle because you have young guys. When you have no huddle—
Are they young anymore?
They're not young anymore. Nice. And plus, you reduce the number of plays that you have in your arsenal. It's really concepts when you go no huddle. Oh, there are 8 men in the box we're going to throw, and you may have 3 or 4 passes off of that. If they're not 8 men in the box, we got run and we're going to go zone right, zone left, or we got it. So you reduce it. It actually makes it simpler for younger guys because you're not thinking about the 150 plays and checks off of those that you do in a huddle office.
It's Wednesdays with Whaley. He joins all hour. He's here, Doug Whaley. How are the roads, by the way? Real quick, traffic report before we get to this break. Yeah, tell us.
Well, see, I took my mom to the airport at 6:20 this morning, okay. So there was no traffic. There was a I should have texted you, Jim, but it was going to be cleared. There was an accident in 28, but it was a minor fender bender.
I went around
the roads
anyway.
Were clear.
There was a big one, though, right by where Aetna comes in. 8 and 28 hit right there. I went over that, and that overpass was icy this morning when I came in, and someone was going probably too fast. This was a couple hours after me and kind of put it into the wall.
But as soon as I got on this side going out to the airport, there wasn't even snow on the ground. It was weird.
There you go. So traffic report, Doug Whaley. You don't get paid extra for that. Yeah. anyway.
Couldn't pay me $1 million to live there. Where's the spot for you, Doug?
Yeah,
where would you go?
Yeah, we talked about that.
They'd have to pay you. Or is there a spot you wouldn't go?
For $1 million, like we said, I'd have to know how many days I
Here's
have to
the
live
confines.
There.
You sound like Colony now.
No, I'm just saying if it's
he
like
wants to know
if it's like Florida residency and I got to be there 180 days, or do I have to be there 365?
You get four weeks vacation a year, okay? And you get $1 million on January 1st at 12:01 a.m., just as the clock turns, and you have to – your primary residence, you have to stay there. You get $1 million. You could live anywhere. Is there somewhere you say, I couldn't live there for that deal in the lower 48 of the United States?
Use of a private jet?
Yeah, but
I mean, I gotta be able to get out of there.
If you want to spend part of your million dollars on it, but
okay,
by all
I didn't
means.
Know that wasn't part of it. I'm Lincoln Riley now. I need to use some private jet. It would have to be somewhere cold that's very remote, like somewhere in Maine or one of the North Dakotas or something like that, where there's just, I mean, I can only watch so much TV, and then when you can't get outside, then you start, I mean, it starts
going,
affecting.
Start going stir crazy.
Yeah, it starts affecting that mental.
Northern Maine, like up in there. Can you do that? Could you do that?
It'd be tough. I probably wouldn't have. I couldn't do it.
What about like Montana along like the Canadian border up there? Yeah, that touches Canada, right?
Yeah.
It does, yes.
Or that
for a long
upper
time.
Yes.
Like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
There
that,
you go.
That stuff, ooh.
That's really middle.
See, now you're second. Now you're saying, I could have done it. I could do it anywhere.
Well, yeah. And when you said my million goes to the private jet, then I was like, nah.
Have you been to the Dakotas?
South Dakota, not North Dakota.
Okay. Yeah. Well, think about how awful South Dakota was, and then drive north for a few hours.
I was going to say, I don't think there's much of a difference between the Dakotas. Dakota is Dakota.
It doesn't get warmer as you drive north, though. Think of that. It won't get nicer.
And that's the whole thing is, a place that there's not much to do, that's all right. You can deal with it. But when you add the coldness in there and you have to be, you're basically in jail.
See,
in your house.
It's like the zoo for me, life. I don't like people, but I need to see them around. I need to have them around. I'm like a zoo animal. I don't like those people on the other side of that glass, but I feel more comfortable having them around.
Right.
Than living.
We'd release you into the wild. You wouldn't know how to handle
like
it.
I don't necessarily like all these people in the city and whatever. But it feels comforting to have a lot of people around for me.
No, I'm the different. I'm a city guy. I lived in the South Side for so long. I love a pedestrian lifestyle. If you say you got to move to New York, Chicago,
I can
in
do
the
it.
City,
no
I'd
problem.
Live in the city, no problem.
Same with me.
No doubt.
I just don't want to talk to them or be buddies with everybody, but it's comforting to be around.
I like people.
Them.
I just don't want to talk to them.
Yes.
I just like to see people.
Yes, I do.
I got a question about whether you like this idea, one idea in particular, and how it's affected by a decision that's been made in the last 24 hours. We'll pick Doug's brain about that. It is the Fan Morning Show, another Wednesday with Whaley, former Bills GM Doug Whaley in studio with us for the entire hour, so about 30 minutes left with him. What would you tell Kenny Pickett to do? I'll put you in an agent's shoes, Doug, especially now in light of the news that Mark Whipple has resigned, and that's a completely separate conversation, but let's stick with the Kenny Pickett angle of this. You're Kenny's agent. You tell him to sit out the Peach Bowl, or do you advise him otherwise?
I sit down with Kenny and his parents, and I say, all right, here's what I advise you to do. You go in, now that Whipple's gone, you go into Narduzzi and say, I'll play if you let me call the game. Let me be the offense. Now, whoever, if it's Brendan Marion that becomes offense coordinator, let me sit down with him and say, out of that offense, I know it's not yours. Let's go through what you like, and then I'll tell you what I like, and then you can help me and advise me during the game, but I'm calling this.
See, this happened next door in, like, August for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. I'll play if you let me call the game.
Yes.
Now, from and an agent's saying advice. So when they come in, the scouts, and especially now that the coaches will start getting involved in the scouting process, they'll start talking to Narduzzi. They'll start to Coach Marion, if he's that guy, and saying, tell me about Kenny and his mental aptitude. They'll be like, he's great. You saw that college? I mean, I'll start. I mean, the Peach Bowl, he called it himself. Now, we work together. So that will just intensify his mental acumen for the game, how he can absorb stuff, and how the game makes sense to him. And everybody's talking about that flake slide. And I'm not talking about if it's whatever. People can say it was bogus or whatever. To me, it shows you how the game makes sense to him and how he can make those split-second decisions that can win you a game. And one of the things that I never thought about that Oliver Luck told me, he says, if they could come up with a test to judge mental endurance, that's where you get the differentiation between the good quarterbacks and the bad quarterbacks. Because think about all those mental things you have to decide every single play, from the 11 people that you need to know what they're doing, the other 11 people what they're trying to know what to do against you, pre-snap, post-snap, any checks. So that mental fatigue sets in, and that's why guys, especially in that position, fail. Who has the mental endurance? And this could show that he has the mental endurance and the game makes sense to him. So I think it would just elevate his stock.
Well, do you think that – well, here's the thing. Could it come off as being bigger than the program, though? And when he, if he says, I need to make all the calls in this one game, or is it, has he earned it because he's pushed the program to this level?
He's earned it, and if I'm Narduzzi, that is another recruiting tool. You come here and you put us in a Peach Bowl, and if something like this goes, we're going to give you the leeway. It's all about production. If you're producing, people are going to give you more leeway. I think it's a win for everybody, for the program, for Coach Narduzzi, recruiting, and for Kenny.
If you're Narduzzi right now, do you go to Pitt and say, I want more money? Now, we've talked about this with college coaches a lot. The coach he's going to be coaching against got more money and then got blown out next week.
Right.
Too late. His agent should have put it in one of our ears to put it out there. That's how you get the
money. Well, I mean, look, I don't know how legitimate or illegitimate the Dennis Dodd thing was a couple weeks ago on Thanksgiving Day when he reported, oh, hearing if Pat Narduzzi goes anywhere, he'll stay through the ACC championship game. That struck me as something that would be floated by an agent.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case or not. It may have just been, off of a bad source or something like that. But that's what struck me about that would strike me as Narduzzi kind of angling for that.
You know, just to get back to Pickett for a second, what about the injury risk? And then do you know, like, what an insurance policy, how does that work, and how much would it cost to insure him for a few million dollars that he might put at risk by playing in that bowl game?
Well, a lot of times, and I'm pretty sure it's still this way, that the NCAA has allowed colleges to buy insurance policies for their players, especially high-profile players that they're saying, hey, give us this leeway to do this so we can keep guys in school. And basically, it has to prove that, okay, he was going to be, and right now you can say he's going to be either second or first round pick. He gets a catastrophic injury that he can't play again or reduces his stock. And it depends on how the insurance policy is written, but it's usually like three rounds. So if he doesn't go to a fifth or sixth rounds, then he can collect on that insurance policy. So for me, especially at that position, and that's why I would say give it to Kenny to call. So he will be able to put himself in positions to know that, hey, I may not be running this RPO. It's going to be just a pass option. So just stuff like that, so he can know in his mind, these are the plays that I feel really comfortable with that will protect me and in the long run, but also showcase not only my physical skills, but my mental aptitude.
Yeah, back to the initial question, though. So you're telling me that your hard stance on this is, just say you're Kenny Pickett's dad or Kenny Pickett's agent. You walk in that office, you tell him if you can run the offense, you're coming back. If you can't run the offense and make the play calls, we're out of here.
Peace. Love you.
Jeez.
I'll donate.
I don't hate the tack, but it's cutthroat. It's ruthless, but
business.
He holds the cards. He is in a position of power for sure now.
And as you pointed out earlier, Colin, they're not where they are without Kenny Pickett.
No question.
They're 6-16.
All right. Well, let me
ask
you
this.
What else
did he do? He came back and put you. So I've done what I've done.
Well,
I've signed.
Right. Well, that's the question, though. I've done what I've done. Has he? And Michigan State's passing defense is terrible. So put yourself back in that GM's seat, okay? Mm-hmm. Can Kenny Pickett, let's say Kenny Pickett goes out. He has the potential. Michigan State's passing defense is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
If he throws for 550 yards and five touchdowns, does it change your draft stock on him? Does he essentially have anything to gain by one more big performance? Or does he have everything to lose by having a bad performance or getting hurt?
Again, that's why I say if he calls the offense and he calls the play, he has much more to gain than to go out there and again.
I'm talking draft. Could he move up the draft board with one bowl game?
No. Not against the Michigan State because of their pass defense. But again, what I would say is he could, and that's why I was thinking about it, he could if he says, if it gets out, he called the game. Then he's moving up. He's shooting up more than anything he could do physically in that game.
I put you in front of a dry erase board right now with a room full of other people, and you're looking at quarterback prospects. Where's Pickett sit, in your opinion?
Not to scapegoat the question, there's a difference in seeing guys on TV and mm-hmm. then actually sitting down and watching film with them and saying, why did you do that? What were you taught here? What's your recall? What did you see? What's this defense? That really gets you into it. But just straight off of watching guys on the TV, he's got to be – I could see him throughout draft boards either being one or three.
Well, it's what made that John Gruden, that old John Gruden show. So
the quarterback camp, yeah.
Yeah, you get to know because there's a lot of times where – you'll say, why did you throw that ball there? And we were talking to a quarterback, and he says, because our coach said, throw it to him. He's a 6'5 freshman that can catch every ball. So that's why, even though it was double coverage. So you get to learn things like that that you just don't see off of TV.
Got a question about another quarterback in just a minute. Just got done talking a lot about Kenny Pickett and what his decision should be like, whether he plays in the Peach Bowl or not. Doug Whaley in studio with us for the entire 9 o'clock hour every Wednesday, another Wednesday with Whaley. I'll get to another quarterback question from a different team in just a moment. But is it at all legitimate to believe that T.J. Watt could have a shot at the MVP this year? Or is it just never going to happen again where a defensive player wins MVP?
Well, let me interject before I answer that question, though. Do you know the process for voting for MVP?
I heard it from when you were saying it.
As a former general manager, did you know it, though, before we told you that?
No.
Isn't it fascinating?
Absolutely. And it is. It's very fascinating. I just never thought to think about it. I just saw MVP voting, then that they have to have so many people, not just 50. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who is it?
And you vote first, second, third.
Right.
Now back to that. To Chris's question, does he have a chance?
No, and I'll say why. Well, no, I'll say he will have a chance if the Steelers go on a run.
Mm-hmm.
If this Baltimore game is just like the Bears game that propelled us to the 05 championship.
Right.
Yes. And he has to add to the fact, and then he has to have a signature play that propels us, the Steelers, to win. He's got to have a strip sack to win the game, interception, something. But he has proven to have some big-time plays at crunch moments.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just with this mediocre team, people are like, oh, that's T.J. Watt.
Step one, they've got to, as you said, go on a run of some sort.
Yes.
They've got to get into the playoffs.
Yes.
If he doesn't get into the playoffs, he's out. They've got to get into the playoffs. He's got to have more multiple sack games and have that one signature play that we've talked about. That if you don't have that, you're off the list too. You also need all those other quarterbacks who are at the top of the list right now: Murray, Rodgers, Allen, Brady, Prescott. All those guys have to continue to sit. None of them have had bad seasons.
No,
but they've all had something that if you look at their resume, for lack of a better way to put it, you look at it and go, yeah, but this, yeah, but that.
They haven't separated themselves,
right?
And to totally flip it, that's what happened to Kenny Pickett this year. All those guys preseason had okay seasons, but they didn't separate themselves from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Rattler got benched. And Kenny Pickett just kept doing what he's doing, and they start winning. And that's what would have to happen for T.J. to have a chance. But it's highly unlikely.
There's actually Trayvon Diggs, who is a cornerback in Dallas, has two pick sixes, and he's got 9 interceptions.
Yep.
And T.J. should have been player of the year 2 years ago. And Stephon Gilmore ended up winning the MVP. Mm-hmm. He had 6 picks.
No, he won the defensive player.
Defensive player of the year. Yeah. I'm sorry. So he may not even win. If Diggs gets another pick six, You know, I'm just saying. And,
absolutely.
And the other part of it is his team's better right now. But it's just because you never – it's so subjective with these guys. I thought there was no way that T.J. Watt wouldn't win it, and then he didn't.
Take the Associated Press award out of it, though. Mm-hmm. Is he the most valuable player in the NFL by your definition? And you don't need to tell me what your definition is, just like valuable. Because and is the valuable player, should it be defined by, okay, when he doesn't play, they lose. When he plays, they win. Is that the true definition?
Right, right. That's what we have to – I mean, that's the issue with all these awards.
Yeah.
You have to – it's so subjective, but you have to have a clear definition of what the award means.
What's right. yours? What's and, your definition then, Doug?
My definition is if he's not on that team and playing, they aren't where they are as a team. And even if it's 6-5-1, if he's not there, are they 6-5-1?
Well, they're 6-2-1 when he doesn't play.
Then here's why
three.
People will make the quarterback argument all the time and why so many quarterbacks have won and will continue to win. Because there's really only good 10 good quarterbacks on the planet, and as soon as you take one of them off a team,
the team's a shambles.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
exactly.
While it's unfair, it's just such a specific
it's a strong
skill
point.
Set.
Yes,
it's a strong point that is really hard to argue too.
Yeah, you can't. And the game has morphed into that where you need a quarterback to be successful.
But that's why I think the playoff argument is the most important part to TJ's case, and assuming he continues to play the way he does, because as Jim points out, they are 6-2 in games where he plays the entire game. Mm-hmm.
Right.
In games where he doesn't play at all or leaves early, oh, they're quite literally winless. They go
Absolutely.
From a 12-win team to winless
mm-hmm.
based on T.J. Watt's availability.
Oh, and that's why I say absolutely. Now, here's the question. Do you think a quarterback would ever win the MVP if their team doesn't make the playoffs?
That's a really good question. Like if they put up astronomical numbers.
But they're just
I think
so
of this.
Awful.
I think of the college game. Mm-hmm. You remember when Tim Couch put up ridiculous numbers, but Kentucky was just like, okay. Yeah. But mm-hmm. he was in the Howl Mummy air raid offense, mm-hmm. and people were like, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Look at the – he's throwing for 500 yards every week, but they stunk.
Right.
Okay, they couldn't beat anybody. Would he ever have won the Heisman? No. And I liken it to that. There has to be, no matter how good individually you are, it has to – parlay into some team success.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if you're in a sport where there's 5 people, 11 people, 35 people. It has to parlay into team success.
Because how can you be valuable
if your
production
team
sucks?
Right.
Yeah.
If your team
what are you bringing value to?
Yes.
A garbage team?
Well, you could say that about the quarterback in Detroit for a long time. I mean, his skills didn't get worse when he went out to Los Angeles. He's the same quarterback.
Guy. Yeah.
And his numbers are – if you look at his numbers in Detroit – He's a borderline Hall of Fame guy just with his Detroit numbers, but his team sucked.
But that's where I go, stats can be misleading. You got to study the stats because team sucked so bad. A lot of those were garbage time stats, and they're down by 20, and people are just saying, bleed the clock. You can throw it for, I don't care how many yards, but you're not going to win. But that pads those stats. That's why.
So what do you say that you have to have team success, right?
You have to have some team success.
Last Absolutely. Couple minutes with Doug Whaley, Epic Ending presented by Xfinity. Check out the latest at Xfinity.com. All right, you pointed out the numbers. Ben Roethlisberger, 9 of 10 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You said in our text chain back and forth, you said that's exactly what they need. Can he do that 3 or 4 more times, put together the kind of performance he did in the second half against Baltimore, really the whole game against Baltimore, even though he may have been a little off target in the first half. Can he put that together 3 or 4 more times to get them to 9 or 10 wins and into the playoffs?
Absolutely. I truly believe he can because what I'm seeing and what I'm hoping and what I'm believing, that mesh between him and Canada and getting on the same page and having that flow in the offense. And there's going to be some struggles, and that's the issue with the Steelers. You're going to have the lack of consistency because they aren't that great of a team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a solid team, a good team with some good, solid players and one great player, but they're not consistent. But if they can get in a flow like this and have the ups and downs and ride that flow of each game, but in the fourth quarter they flip that switch, I think they got a chance.
Doug Whaley with us every Wednesday for an entire hour in the 9 o'clock hour. Wednesdays with Whaley. You're off to do big things this week. You have 15 minutes to get to the airport, as I understand it.
I got about 25. I got a 10:57 flight. I think I can make it from here.
10:57 flight.
Yep.
Troopers all along the Parkway West.
Yeah. Alert.
At least there's – I mean, the weather's cold and a bit windy. There's a chance it can get pushed back by a couple minutes. It won't leave early, that's for sure. So you got that on your side. I say you get there, but you cut it pretty close.
What I'm saying is anybody out there that ever makes flight arrangements, 10, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock is the best time to fly because there are no lines, as long as it's not a holiday weekend. Yeah.
You have a pre-check, right?
Yes,
I got the pre-check. That's big.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Well, I'll tell you, I have Clear, too, and I don't know if anybody has Clear, because when I was flying out of LaGuardia a lot, Clear was great. And I've never felt so inadequate than in Clear, you have to get in a certain spot so they can see your eyes and everything. I couldn't get it right. I was too close, too far away. Finally, the lady's like, just put your hand down there. Show me your hands and get the fingerprints and stuff. But I felt inadequate. I was like, man, I can't even get the Clear check right.
Not good.
Not good.
Well, you'll pull it off today. Everything will be flawless. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate it as always. Doug Whaley in studio with us for the entire 9 o'clock hour every Wednesday. Tomorrow, we get you ready for Steelers-Vikings, almost like a little pregame show. Plus, we'll check in with Nick Costos, as we usually do on Thursdays as well. Producer Matt will get you some sounds from the other side on a short week as we build up towards kickoff tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.